All right, we're glad to have you back with us here at GoldSeek.com Radio, opening up the phone lines for listeners' questions.
Hi, Chris. John moved from Downers Grove, Illinois, to San Diego. I got a comment on what's going on with the ECB and the Fed, and I'd like your take on this, see if this viewpoint is valid. I got a hunch they're playing tag team here. The Fed, knowing they've gone way too far, has got to at least give the impression that they're going to cut back on bond purchases and raise interest rates. And I think the ECB coordinating with them and purchase 1 trillion euros worth of junk. There's one fly in the ointment for these guys, it seems. Germany. Germany's starting to get a little riled about the loose monetary policies at the ECB. But to tell you the truth, I'm laying my bet on the bankers. The bankers are going to control whatever happens. It doesn't make any difference how many politicians and judges in Germany rail against this loose monetary policy. In the end, the bankers are going to win. And even if everything blows up in their face, they'll be brought in as the saviors again. They're going to save the day. So anyway, the brief synopsis, they're playing tag team. They're tag teaming us. The Fed is pretending to cut, or really will cut, pretending they're going to raise interest rates. In the meantime, ECB is picking up water pail and going to slosh even more liquidity into the system. So what's your take on this? Great show. Keep up the good work.
First up, it's John from San Diego. He says that capital is fleeing the European Union into the U.S. stock market and the real estate market. Well, hi, John. You know, you probably know that I first suggested about a year ago that capital flight from the European Union was boosting the U.S. markets, beginning, or I should really say accelerating, with the Ukraine crisis. But, you know, the situation has cooled down for the time being, which has slowed the money flow. Plus, the ECB has upped the ante, I think, in this Fed's version of Texas No Limits poker. I mean, the ECB ministers dropped their benchmark lending rate to the lowest level in history of any central bank into negative territory. So let's think about this. Scratching your heads, how can you have a negative interest rate? Well, investors actually pay money to the borrower. Let's break it down. My hard-earned cash, I don't want any interest. Instead, I'll pay you to have it. Well, this economic sleight of hand punishes savers around the world, those who need it the most and who worked hard for most of their lives so that they could have a comfortable retirement, and as well as conservative investors. Instead, it encourages highly speculative endeavors, and I really have no problem with speculare, the original word from Italy, but I have no problem whatsoever with speculation in moderation. But the problem comes from overleverage, like big CDS plays, mortgage-backed securities, even some penny stocks. There's simply few opportunities to earn a decent yield. And I think what you're really driving at here is what's really going on behind the scenes. And, you know, simply the banks are holding on to trillions of dollars in euros and yen on their balance sheet. They're investing it, the rest of it, into the stock market, bond market, real estate funds, but it's not going to us. That's right, the working class, the middle class. And guess whose money it is? You guessed it. They're just not giving it back to society because the very people to whom they owe their wealth and existence are deemed untrustworthy with their own funds. But as soon as the financial institutions collude and decide the top is in place of these markets, then I think they'll start to pull the funds from them en masse, searching for a safe haven. Guess where as much as $20 trillion could be headed. Title of this radio show, Gold Seek. So that's a quick answer to the question. I liken it to a game of hot potato, but unfortunately replace the potato with a live hand grenade.
Hi, Chris. It's Rome out of Oregon. Long time no talk. It's so good to go with you and yours. I have a question about the future as you see it. I know the dollar is weak and at some point it's got to crash, but don't you think that the Fed would like to choose the time that it crashes for the power to be? And when it does crash, don't you think that they'll have something in place, some option after some degree of pain by everybody, and people, for lack of a better word, will take a new currency, you know, instead of the old one? So anyway, just curious for you about the future health. I really appreciate your show. Thank you for all that you do, and Over here. Take care. Bye.
Next up, longtime listener Rome from Oregon. Hi, Rome. Wow. I'm a little more concerned about your phone service than the currency. Kidding aside, if I heard you correctly, you really want to know what the Fed's most likely contingency plan is for the U.S. dollar and just what our officials plan to do when the greenback goes the way that 100% of all fiat currencies have gone before. Even Voltaire pointed it out. You guessed it, zero. We've speculated for years on this show that the powers that be are preparing for an Amero, or the North American currency, a currency that spans Canada, U.S., and Mexico, which could replace or trade side by side with the dollar, similar to the border towns in the U.S. and Mexico with the peso-dollar arrangement. So Americans could wake up one morning, turn on their laptop computers, their iPhones, check their savings and checking account balances at Wells Fargo, and see the same $20,000 account balance, but instead of USD next to the bottom line, AMO. That's right, Ameros. And it'll still be 20,000 AMOs, but they might have half the purchasing power or less than the day or week or month before. Instant wealth confiscation compliments we the sheeple, 300 million American citizens. But it gets even more fun. The Social Security and pension funds will also be denominated in Ameros. So the true loss, theoretically, could be much greater from an economic standpoint. Interestingly, gold, silver, and many tangible investments would instantaneously skyrocket by at least 50% and perhaps much higher as investors scramble to shield their remaining cash or physical dollars on hand, turning to precious metals, maybe even bitcoins, to protect against further shenanigans. But of course, most of this can be avoided by simply following the advice of the top investment money managers for over a century. Simply hold 15 to 20% of your funds in physical precious metals. Thank you, Rome, and thanks for sticking with us here for years. Next up, it's John again from San Diego.
Chris, John from San Diego, formerly Downers Grove, Illinois. Just wanted to add one thing to my earlier commentary about the Fed and the ECB playing us a tag team game. Obviously, money is fleeing from Europe right now. Everybody's afraid over there that they're going to devalue the euros. That money is apparently moving into the U.S. stock market and probably the real estate market and the bond market. This could well be the reason why we witnessed that violent rally on Friday of what was the Dow up 200 some points. How long that's going to keep up is anybody's guess, but if I were a guessing man or a betting man, I'll bet you that this is giving the stock market rally a new lease on life. I was expecting a crash this fall, but if this keeps up in Europe, unless somebody puts the brakes on plans on depreciating the euro by a trillion euros over the next however long, this rally could keep on pummeling away, even though it should crash. As far as I'm concerned, I hope it does crash. I hope the Dow goes down to 2,500. That will make me a very wealthy man. I threw two more cents into the mix. Illuminate the situation for us about what's really going on here. Okay, thank you. Great show. Bye-bye.
He's concerned by the dollar rally, and he says it's all smoke and mirrors and that the euro and the yen are declining relative to the dollar. Well, hi, John. You know, I think it's a solid observation on your part. It ties in with my earlier comments. And of course, global funds must flood into the dollar when the euro pays negative interest. I mean, it's similar to holding up a sign and saying, please don't take my euros. Hold dollars instead, right? Plus, you know, Abenomics continues to depreciate the yen. And in the attempt to hold up the economy that's facing severe demographic issues, just like we are here in the U.S., that according to Harry S. Dent Jr., a regular on this show. All right, closing down the phone lines and reaching into the digital mailbag. I hope I don't get shocked. Alan says he just listened to the interview with David Gurwitz. He found it very interesting, and he thinks that this generation has lost its financial common sense, that our parents are now retired and risk averse and not participating. The new generation just doesn't have the experience and painful memory of historical events and past patterns. There's some naivete on our part. And he has gained this information as an airline pilot trainer, where he says they study catastrophic mistakes of the past in great detail using simulators, noting that losing money doesn't quite have the same life or death consequences which motivate the risk that they face. Well, you know, Alan, I think your profession has served you well as an investor. In fact, this is precisely the topic of my PhD thesis. Complete, it's just being, it'll take about 12 months to hone and hopefully acceptance. And then, of course, I have to defend it. One of the outcomes of my proposed thesis is that we need a national warning service for the public regarding financial markets. And we have a national weather radar service, right? Well, the problem is that folks are convinced they are right. And that when we buy this illusion of the efficient market hypothesis, you essentially accept the fact, well, there is nothing but randomness. Folks have been lured into complacency as a society. It's a great peril to all of us. You know, just-in-time groceries, necessities, medicine, fast food, even payment systems are a huge risk to virtually everyone who find themselves living, well, from paycheck to paycheck. As a society, we need to return to a more basic mindset, but, you know, with, I think, a technological slant. You know, I think the image of an Amish family with the horse and buggy, you know, comes to mind, but maybe with a satellite dish on top or a laptop on the beach. Maybe the modern Amish family in an RV. Maybe that's what we all need to have. Do we need to have a bug-out Winnebago with a satellite dish and solar panels? I mean, I've got the dish and the solar panels. All I need is the Winnebago. Anybody want to trade me for some satellite dish setup? I mean, we've got to embrace, I think, the old-fashioned work ethic and the we're going to need basic living standards, self-reliance. We're going to need a community spirit. I just don't think Big Brother is going to be able to help us. Maybe a dollar collapse in months or years. I mean, survival skills, you know, they always come in handy. I think we also have to add to the mixed threat of global warfare. And it's just, you know, getting almost too harrowing to contemplate. On a more positive note, you know, most of our listeners have been stockpiling canned and freeze-dried foods for some time, as well as eliminating debt, waste, and accumulating precious metals. So I think we have a fellowship of like-minded preppers. Stay in touch with me, and maybe I can direct you to some folks in your area. Next up, it's Vidya. And he says that the media source that he watches claims that silver is becoming even more scarce than before, and it's difficult to find new mining claims. So then why is the gold-to-silver ratio so close to 70 instead of the naturally occurring rate of 17.5, according to the Geological Survey? A topic that's near and dear to me and most of the guests on my show. Deposits occur much differently in this metal, Ag, than Au. Silver pulls near the surface, whereas gold runs deep in veins, and it makes mining much more challenging for gold, which leaves a considerable amount of that ore, the yellow metal, in the ground. So from this vantage point, you are correct. However, you know, silver is dispersed, I think, much more widely, and is found chiefly now around copper, nickel deposits, as well as other precious metals, such as palladium, platinum, and other rare earths. So silver, through these peripheral operations, I find abundant. You are right in that this presents some interesting scenarios. Firstly, in the event of a global war or energy shortage or embargoes, etc., you know, such activities would likely be curtailed, making silver, I think, considerably more rare than gold. And of course, now remember, there's also the industrial supplies, which can be depleted quickly with insufficient silver ore reserves available and the lack of replenishment from current stockpiles. I mean, that I think is a solid argument for owning gold and silver bullion. Silver is a strategic metal as well, required in every area of military and governmental, not to mention industrial applications. So if your goal is monetary, you know you want to focus on gold. That's your go-to asset. If your goal is strategic, silver is the investment. Together, though, you have your bases covered. We want to thank you, everyone, today for all your questions and comments. Don't forget you can call into us toll-free, 1-800-507-6531. We'd like for you to jot this down. Please put it on a Post-it pad, program it into your iPhone or to your regular telephone, 1-800-507-6531. You can record and delete as many times as you like. Get it just right. And if you'd prefer to remain anonymous, we don't mind. 1-800-507-6531. More GoldSeek.com radio. Stay with us at GoldSeek. is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.